Praise the Lord. It's good to see Miss Haddock's able to be with us this morning. That's an answer to prayer. And just praise the Lord. If you got to spend time with family, you're very blessed. You ought to be thankful and thankful for what all God's done in our lives. And thankful for rain. Well, got to be thankful. Amen. Got to be thankful. Could be snow, yeah. That'd have been pretty though if it would have been. But Luke chapter number 2. We've been looking at some special announcements, and the birth of John and the birth of Jesus was announced. Then we started looking at some arrivals, and we saw the coming of John at the end of chapter number 1, verses 56 to 80. And now we're going to look at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter number 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 20 this morning. If you're able to, let's stand as you read the scriptures. If not, the Lord understands that. And Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. Let's read that. It says, "It came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your blessings, and I do pray you bless the reading and the preaching now of your word. I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts, give us strength, comfort, grace, a challenge, Lord, whatever we need from your word this morning. But Lord, help us to be reminded, Father, of the great gift that you sent in your Son. And Lord, may we be thankful. And Father, I pray that, Lord, anyone here today that's lost, I pray they'd understand the reason why Jesus came. And Lord, please, I pray today would be the day they'd be saved. And Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter number 2, in verses 1 through 20, we'll look now at his birth. His birth. In verses 1 through 7, we see some princes in this world, some powers, some royalty, if you will, in this world. In verse number 1, we're introduced to Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus says, "Came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Now, the Caesar Augustus, history, you can study him. He was a Roman emperor by the name of Octavius. He was the grandnephew of Mark Antony. Probably heard of these men. Julius Caesar, of course, was murdered. Then Mark Antony committed suicide. And, you know, you study those Roman emperors, if you can gain the whole world, it will mean nothing to you. These men died miserable deaths and having the whole world at their fingertips. Because all the things of the world is not the secret to joy and happiness. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. But Caesar Augustus, it was Octavius. He took the title Caesar from his uncle, Julius Caesar, made himself king, emperor. And then he took the title Augustus, making himself, in eyes of the Romans, a god. one of the first ones to do that. He took himself as more than just a Caesar, but also to be looked at as a god. And by no coincidence was he the first to do that, the same time that the Lord Jesus Christ would come into this world. The devil always tries to fight and make an opposite and a fake of what the Lord offers as truth. And in no difference here, there was a man who took the title and tried to declare himself as a god in the same time when God would send himself as the baby and be born as the Lord Jesus Christ. But you had this power, Caesar Augustus. Then you had another power mentioned, a prince of this world, in verse number 2, a man by the name of Cyrenius. The Bible says, and the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Cyrenius, you can study him. I encourage you always. You know, I know when you're in school, it's like history class. Ugh, all right? But you'd be amazed what you can learn in studying the Bible, and you know some history with it, too. Cyrenius was a man who was born not a Roman, but he was captured as a young slave. He became a person in the Roman army, worked himself up, became a war hero in conquering a few islands in the Mediterranean and fighting some great battles, and was promoted, given Roman citizenship, became a hero to all the Romans, almost a legend, and became then the governor of Syria. So he had this prince in this world. But then there's another prince, the most important. In verse number 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, that's King David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You had Caesar Augustus, you had Cyrenius, but they are nothing in light of Christ. You see, as I said earlier, you can gain this whole world, but if you lose your own soul, you've missed everything. There's a rich man in the New Testament that had everything, built himself some new barns, put everything in his new barns, and said, I'm going to sit here, eat, drink, and be merry, and enjoy all I have. But the Bible says he was a fool, because that night his soul was required of him, and he died and left everything that he thought was precious, meant nothing in eternity. There was a rich man who walked by a poor beggar named Lazarus. Lazarus just asked for bread, for crumbs. The rich man kind of scoffed at him, went home, did his thing, but that night both he and Lazarus died. Lazarus was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, was ushered by the angel to paradise itself. And all of his needs and hurts in life were erased. And I'm here to tell you that Lazarus is still rejoicing in heaven today. But that rich man, the Bible says his eyes were lifted up, being in torment. And I hate to say this, but he's still in torment today. There is a place called hell. And a lot of people think, well, if I just had this and that, I'll be happy. I'll just live my life and live it how I want to. And they try to push aside Christ, but one day they will realize that Christ is the only way and He is the answer to true life and true happiness. If you're here today and you think that, oh, you're just living your life and enjoying it, you're going to do your thing, and I might get back to Christ when I'm, you know, older, or I'll put it aside, or I don't even need Him, you are so mistaken. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I beg you from this pulpit, I beg you to quit playing games with God and humble yourself and come to the Lord Jesus Christ today. He said, I'm fine. I've got everything I need. I'm living a good life. The goodness of the Lord should lead you to repentance. It is of His mercy that you are consumed today. He wants you to hear another message one more time. But Christ comes in verses 3 through 7. Of course, there was a taxing, and everyone had to go back and pay this tax. They had to go back to their family's hometown. Joseph, now married to Mary, goes back to his hometown, that of Bethlehem. And of course, that would all be because it was prophesied hundreds of years earlier that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. It was a rough journey on Mary. Mary was great with child and obviously ready to give birth, and she had to take this long trip, a two-day journey. And there and riding the colt and heading down to Bethlehem. And she went, and they went to the inn in Bethlehem. Which you know a lot about that, Emma, if you were here Thursday night. And if you weren't here, you missed something interesting. All right. We talked about the innkeeper. And we always give the innkeeper a hard time. I don't think that's fair, necessarily. You know, I've read some commentaries. I think it was Matthew Henry that said, the innkeeper could have given his own room. Well, that's presumptuous. What if he already had given his room to somebody? And if he's still part of the family that I think he's part of, he probably had given his room. He was a giver of hospitality. And when Mary comes and Joseph, he wanted to help. And I think all the best he had left, he gave to them. And of course, it was a stable. And they went out, and there in that stable, which was probably a cave alongside that inn, there in that stable, in the hay, the dirt, the grime, and all that would be associated with all those animals being there, the Lord Jesus Christ was born. You know, I was thinking about that this week. I'm thankful. You know, whenever the wise men came to find the baby Jesus, you know where they first went? Do you remember where they first went? They went to Herod. They went to the palace. Where else would the king be born, right? They go to the palace. Of course, he wasn't there. The shepherds knew where he was. They were told by the angel. He was born in a cattle stall. You know, and I thought about that this week. You know, I've never met one person on this earth who didn't feel like they were able to walk into a cattle stall. I don't know about you, but I've met a lot of people that wouldn't feel worthy walking into a palace. We just went to London recently with the singers last year. We stood outside Buckingham Palace. But trust me, we didn't try to go in. If we'd have knocked on the door, them soldiers would have marched us right out. You can even go to Washington, D.C. If you'd like to go in and see the president, you're going to have a hard time getting in. Only certain people can go into a palace, into a kingdom. But I don't care who you are, every one of us could go into a cattle stall. And I think there's a message there. Jesus came for everybody. And there's not one person who shouldn't feel like they can't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, you know, some people, especially maybe the rich in this world, would think it below them to walk into a cattle stall. But we do have to humble ourselves when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was born there, and Luke, the doctor, kind of gives us another little hidden thing here. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. It's a medical term. It means bandages. Strips of linen cloth they would use as bandage, which is kind of a hint of why he came. He didn't come to be a king. He came to suffer. He came to this earth for one purpose: to die for our sins. He would be bruised. He would be beaten. As Miss Mary just saying, we get so wrapped up in everything, and all we ever picture is a precious little baby in a beautiful little manger scene. It wasn't that way. It would be to us a really, if that were to happen today, we'd say, I can't believe that parent would lay that child in such things. We look, and the thought, I see back there Miss Rhonda, when I waved at her because her hands are full right there, holding the baby. The thought of placing that baby into what they had to place the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no way. We're going to lay that baby where the animals have been slobbering and the straw off the ground where the animals had desecrated. To lay that baby into that, I'm pretty sure Sarah would have something to say about that. We're not going to do that. But that's where they placed him. And they wrapped him in bandages, strips of linen they could find. It was just all part of who he came for and why he came. I want us to understand this morning that the reason he came was to suffer for you and me. I want us to be sober for a second this morning and meditate on the fact of why he came and what he had to go through so that we could be saved. We ought to be a very thankful people. This was no ordinary baby that they laid there in that manger. This is the King of Kings. This was the Lord of Lords. Emmanuel, God with us. We see some princes in this world. But then you see in verses 8 to 14, a power shining in this world. You see a herald from on high in verse number 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." You see this herald from on high. You see, first of all, whom he sought, this power. His power was an angel, obviously. Who did he seek? He went, of course, to the shepherds. He said, "Why, of course?" Well, what was the Lord Jesus Christ? He was and is the Lamb of God. He came to the shepherds, probably in the very same fields or close to where David would watch his sheep hundreds of years ago. He came to the shepherds. It's interesting. These shepherds were watching their sheep at night. Now, probably you've heard this, and it's just a fact. Shepherds always kept their sheep out during the day. You didn't take them out at night. It's harder to watch over them at night. The wolves come out at night. The coyotes come out at night. The prey, the animals come out at night. You always took your animals out during the day, the sheep, and you took care of them, and you had them in at night, and then the shepherd would lay in front of the door himself. These shepherds were out at night for a reason, because these were no ordinary sheep. These sheep taken out at night had to be kept separate from all the rest of the sheep. Because the only reason you'd have them out at night, because these are the sheep that would be used as a sacrifice, that would be kept unblemished and unspotted from all the other sheep. It was to these shepherds the angel appeared. To these shepherds watching over the sheep that would have been used as a sacrifice. In the same fields as King David would have kept his sheep when he was a boy. He came to the shepherds to announce that the Lamb of God had come. Again, friends, I know it's a sobering message, but it's not just a pretty picture of a pretty baby in a beautiful manger. He came as the Lamb of God to be slain. They would take a lamb, and they would take this innocent lamb, and they would make the sacrifice, and they would take that lamb and they would slit its throat. The blood would come rushing out of that lamb. After the lamb was bled, they would take that lamb and they would put it on a fire and offer it up as a sacrifice. It would be consumed. It would be destroyed. Jesus came for that purpose. He came to shed His blood for us. He came to be consumed. All of our sin was cast on Him. You see, who this power sought was the shepherd. You see what he said in verses 10 to 12. The Shekinah glory of God begins to shine. In verse number 10, you see they announce salvation. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Good tidings, good news, the gospel. Great joy. If you're saved, you ought to have joy in your life. If you're saved, you ought to be happy today. If you're saved, you ought to have some joy and some thankfulness that the Lord Jesus Christ, He came for you and me. We ought to be thankful for that. And I'm thankful that verse says, for all people. Aren't you thankful for that? He didn't come for just a select few. He came for everybody. This is good news for everyone. That's why such teachings out there like Calvinism and that believes that Jesus only died for a certain few and only a certain few would be saved, it is anti-Bible. When He came. This is good news. If there wasn't an option that someone could get saved, that they were condemned no matter what, then this is not good news to them. But it's good news to all people. You know why? Because He came for everyone. Everyone to be saved. We see salvation. than the Savior. In verse number 11, for unto you is born this day. Let's stop right there. For unto you. Aren't you thankful that He came for you?
Amen.
For unto you. Did you know you needed a Savior? Travis Burke needed a Savior. You needed a Savior. For unto you. He came for you. You know, it'd be good for all of us to stop, and in your mind, I wish you'd do this right now, to say, Jesus came for me. That ought to mean something to you. He came for me. And there's no one in error of saying that today, that Jesus came for me. Meditate on that for a second. If you're lost today and sitting in here, He came for you. If you're saved today and you've kind of drifted away from Him, I want you to understand that everything, He came as a lamb. He came to be slain. He came to be bruised. He came to be beaten. He came to be consumed for you. Because we needed that. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Aren't you thankful that He came to be our Savior? And that Savior is Christ the Lord. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way you can be saved, my friend, but through Jesus Christ. He is the way. He talked about salvation. He talked about a Savior. And then He talked about a sign. In verse number 12, and this is, shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The sign was the stable. They would go to Bethlehem. They would find the stable. And they would find that child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying there in the manger. Now the wise men, they had a different sign. Their sign was a star. And understand this, the shepherds didn't follow a star to find Jesus. The shepherds looked for a stable. A place where they would feel comfortable. A place where they would feel welcome. And a place where they would find exactly what the angels said they would find. Would you look at me a second? The Bible says if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll give you peace. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save your soul. If you'll go to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find exactly what God promised you would find. You will find it. That joy, what you're longing for, that void in your life, the day you got saved, you found everything God promised you would find. And you always will. And the shepherds were told what to look for. You see a herald from on high, and then you see a host from on high in verse 13 and 14. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. All of a sudden, this one angel. Understand, when it first appeared, it wasn't a whole bunch of angels, but there was one angel that appeared and spoke these things and what they would find. And after he announced that Jesus was there and they would find him, all of a sudden there's a whole host of angels and they're all praising God. All glorifying God. Did you know they were glorifying God? And something they really couldn't even fully understand. The angels long to look into these things. We as believers today, if the angels could praise God for what was going on, how much more should we be praising God today for what He's done for us? You ought to have a hard time sitting in your pew, sitting there staring at me at the top of your eyeglasses and just watching there, hearing about what all Jesus did for you. You ought to have a hard time not jumping up and down, clicking your heels and saying, praise God, glory to the Lord for what He's done. He saved a wretch like me. I'd be on my way to hell if it wasn't for this Lord Jesus Christ that came. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be rejoicing today over what He's done for us. Not sitting like a bump on a log saying, well, yeah, He came, I'm saved, that's great. If you understood what He went through and what He saved you from, you'd have a hard time sitting still this morning. And the angels, all of a sudden, there is a host that praised God. What did they praise Him for? It says they praised God and said, glory to God in the highest and on earth. Here's what they praised Him for. Peace. you know our sin, our wickedness, our flesh, because of that life, we were made enemies of God. Do you know those who are not saved are running and they're fighting against the conviction of the Lord and the Holy Ghost? Did you know God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to a world, and listen, look at me, that would hate Him? Most would hate Him. Still today, if you don't believe me, go out. Start telling people about how great the Lord Jesus Christ is. Many hate Him. They want nothing to do with Him. But to this world, Jesus came. Now listen. To offer them peace. What a great God we have. That God would come to offer peace. Look over real quick and we'll come right back here. Look at Romans chapter 5. Just can't preach about this without reading this verse. Romans chapter number 5. The day that you got saved. Now, isn't this great? Before you, when you were lost, when I was lost, I was living in my flesh. I was heading towards hell. I was of, as the Lord Jesus said, my father was the devil. That's who I was following. That's who I was serving. And that's where I was heading. But when Jesus Christ came and He saved my soul, all of my filth, all of my sin, He forgave all of that. He took that all upon Himself at Calvary. That has been paid for. And the day that I got saved, His righteousness covered me. I am now holy in the sight of God because I've trusted in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for me on that cross. I have been, what the Bible says, declared justified. It is just as if I've never sinned. And yet I know what a wicked person I am. But God has forgiven me and I'm covered by the righteousness of His Son. And Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The day you got saved, the day you were declared righteous, you got peace with God. Isn't that a glorious thing?
Yes.
To know I have peace with God. You know what that means? So what's that mean? I'm not afraid of what I'm heading to.
Right.
I'm not afraid to stand before that God. I have peace with God. I stood on Christmas Eve next to Mike's bed. His eyes were open. And he was able to respond to me. I said, Mike, I do. I just want to ask you. Do you know you're saved? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? And he smiled and he said, yeah. I said, you know you're saved, Mike? Yes. Dan said when he passed away, he just died peacefully. I've stood by the bed of a lot of people, a lot of believers who have left this life and gone on to meet the Lord. And the peace of God is a wonderful thing. The peace of God is something glorious. I'll be honest, I'm looking eyeball to eyeball. It would scare me to death to lay on my deathbed and not have peace with God.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that He extended that peace offer to me. Because look at me, I had no right to extend a peace offer to Him. I had nothing to offer. But He reached down for me. And He said, son, if you will believe in what Jesus Christ did for you and confess that, yes, you are the sinner, and yes, you need a Savior, God said, I'll save you and I give to you peace. I'm thankful today, look at me, that I live a life with peace. I'm thankful that I don't spend my whole life worried what God might do to me. I'm glad I don't live my whole life trying to find comfort and peace. I found it all the day that I got saved. God gave peace. If the angels could rejoice in it, how much more should we? And you see, it's a some princes in this world, a power shining in this world, and we'll close today with this, some people of the world. In verses 15 to 20, you see the response of the shepherds in verses 15 and 16. It says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Can I tell you what the response of the shepherds was? Listen closely. It was immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. Can I tell you something that I've tried my best to share with you? The importance, if you're lost today, that God extends to you peace today. His Son has died for you today. And if you're lost today, He wants you to get saved. And I'm looking at you right now, and I'm begging and I'm asking you not to wait for some invitation, not to wait till you feel like it, not to wait till you're older, not to wait until you think about it more. If you're lost today, I want you to know you ought to immediately right now come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to get out of your seat even while I'm preaching. I promise someone to come down here and meet you. Ask the Lord to save your soul today. There in your seat, ask Him to save your soul. And then come and let the church know, and let us rejoice with you in that decision. You ought to not wait, and don't put it off, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Not guaranteed tomorrow. Me and Brother York talked and said, "Boy, how true that verse is. One week you're having a good time. 2 days later you found out you have days to live." Which, by the way, look at me. That could happen to any of us sitting in this room. What's your life? The Bible says it's a vapor. It's here, then it's gone. Just like the flower and the grass, we're here and we fade away. If you're not saved, quit playing games, quit running from God. Just as the shepherds did, immediately would you come to Him. Don't delay. Don't delay. You see an immediate obedience, and then you see an immaculate observation. Verse number 16, they came and found Mary and Joseph. Now listen to me, Mary and Joseph weren't the immaculate ones. Immaculate means perfect, without blemish, without sin. What I'm referring to is this, that babe that was lying in the manger. Mary was there, Joseph was there, the animals were there, the floor was nasty, the bed was terrible, but the baby was perfect. The baby was perfect. You know what those shepherds found when they came? They found exactly what the angel told them they'd find. See, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes? More than that, they found a Savior. See, how do you know they found the Savior? Because they immediately left and went and told everybody else about the Savior. And I've never met one person that ever got saved that didn't want to tell other people about what God had just done for them. They found the Savior. They found the Lamb. The Lamb of God. You see the response of the shepherds, and you see the reaction of the shepherds in verse 17 and 19. 17 and 18, you see their tidings were told. It says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." They went out and started telling everybody. You're kind of first New Testament soul winners, huh? Start going out, by the way. Well, it was the night time. We probably wouldn't go out at the same time they did, go door knocking. But they went out. I don't know when it was, but it was the middle of the night. They start knocking on doors. "Hey, the Savior has come. The Savior has come." My friends, that's our job too. To tell people about the Savior that has come. And you know what? I don't know. I have no idea. The Scripture's silent here. I don't know if everybody dismissed the shepherds as crazy people. I don't know if some went to the manger to go take a peek for themselves. I really don't know. But I know this, that everybody they told wondered about what was going on. It shook them. Our job, look at me real quick, our job is not to go and make people get saved. Our job is just to share the good news and then let the Holy Spirit continue to do a work in lives. He'll bring the fruit. You see their tidings told, and then you see in verse number 19, their tidings treasured. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, I thought about that this week. When all this took place, and she no doubt saw the shepherds leave and tell everybody what was going on, going house to house, she just kind of stored them in her heart. You see the same thing over in chapter number 2. Remember whenever Jesus is older, 12 years old, and they go back. They didn't realize he had stayed there in Jerusalem. They go back and find him. And in verse number 49, they come to Jesus. And verse number 48, and Mary says, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." You can almost see the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ with respect to Mary and as a parent, but said these words, "How is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?" If I can give you my commentary, "Mom, I was doing exactly what my father told me to do." And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Verse number 51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You know what? Mary saw a lot. Now look at me. I'll wrap this message up. I pondered on this week. Everything she saw, she kept hiding in her heart, thinking on it, meditating on it. I'm just here to tell you, I fast forwarded in my mind, when Jesus Christ went through everything that he went through on the cross, and he's hanging there on that cross, destroyed as a human being, there's not a mom in this room that could have stood there and watched all that. There's no way. But she did. Because look at me. She understood what was going on. Did it hurt? Oh, as the prophet prophesied there in the temple, and just a few verses later, it was like a sword through her heart. But she stood there and looked upon what they did to her son. How could she stand there and see all that they did? Because she understood. That was her Savior. And it had to be done to pay for our sins. You and I ought to stand here this morning and look at the cross and be very thankful for what our God has done for us. And if you're not thankful, I hope you'll be like Mary. Look at me. And go home and meditate on these things. Put it in your heart. Think on it. How we ought to be thankful. And be in wonder of all that God has done. And in verse number 20, and we'll pray, you see the response of the shepherds. You see the reaction of the shepherds, and you see the return of the shepherds. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I hope that we'll all leave these doors today as believers, just praising God as we've stopped and looked at exactly why he came and the purpose in his coming. It was not to paint a pretty picture to hang on walls and make little scenes out of. It was to show us and remind us of why he came as the Lamb of God to suffer for our sins. What a Savior we have. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for just being able to look at this passage of Scripture.